Welcome to the Real Reel podcast with Natalie Barbu. Instagram might be your highlight reel, but we're here to talk about the real reel. Hi everyone, welcome back to the Real Reel podcast with me, Natalie Barbu. In today's episode, I am interviewing my friend Emily. She is an influencer that's known for What's Emily Doing, which is her Instagram account. And then she also has another Instagram account called Miss New Foodie, where she's a food blogger in New York City, which is actually how she started before transitioning to being a lifestyle influencer. This conversation is just a very, very casual conversation with a friend. Me and her met when I actually moved to New York because she went to NYU. So she's been living in New York for like 5 or 6 years now. She's from the area. So I got a lot of good insight about what New York is really like through her. And I thought she'd be a perfect fit to have on this podcast, just casually talking. And also we talked a lot about what it's like living in New York City by yourself right now during the coronavirus pandemic. And it was just a very interesting conversation, like hearing her thoughts about it since she's there, she's living alone, how she's adjusted to it. And again, I just want to say this is just me talking to a friend. It's not, don't get any like sound advice from us. We were just really candidly talking about our hopes for the future, how we hope New York will reopen and how we hope that it gets back to normal, but it's not anything saying like go outside, it's safe or anything like that. So I really want to say a disclaimer for that in case it sounds like we're getting excited and like we're just going to go outside in the next few weeks. Like we're definitely listening to all of the CDC guidelines and the Governor Cuomo and how his plans to reopen the city and the state. So just wanted to preface it with saying that. But I just love my podcast being a conversation, having it you feel like you're in the room with us. So that's basically my goal for this episode. I really hope that you guys enjoy it. And we talk about a lot of different topics. I feel like we talked about so many topics in this podcast. We talked about living in New York. We talked about going to NYU and going to college in such a big city, being from the area, future plans. We talked about jobs and social media and how they compare to other jobs. And then, of course, we talked about what it's like living in the city during this time. This was recorded virtually, of course, but I really do hope that you guys enjoy this episode, and I hope it just brings a little light to the situation because it's nothing scary. It's just two friends talking about what's going on in the world. So hopefully you feel like you're in the room with us. Anyways, I really hope that you guys enjoy this episode. So let's get into it. Hi, Emily. Thanks so much for joining my podcast. I can't wait to have you on.
Thanks for having me.
So the first thing we're going to start with is setting the record straight. This is when I say some assumptions and some stereotypes, and then you're going to tell me if they're true or false.
Okay, I love this. I love this already.
So the first one is, it's hard to do social media full time.
Yes. Very, very hard.
Yeah, I think a lot of people don't think it's as hard as it is.
It's definitely, yeah. When I first did it full time, I was nowhere near prepared for what I was going to have to do and deal with. And I think a lot of people don't know about the behind the scenes work.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. I just feel like it's something that no one talks about, and all you see is like pretty pictures on Instagram. And then that's just like all you think it is.
Yeah, people think that doing full time any sort of social media is taking a couple of pictures, editing them, and then just like being, I don't know, wandering around the apartment all day. It's not like that at all.
I know. Yeah, or eating like, cute brunch restaurants and coffee shops. And the next one is, New Yorkers are rude.
False. It depends on the scenario, I will say.
Yeah.
I think New Yorkers are nice in some ways, and they're nice to other New Yorkers, but if you are like, I don't know. It depends on the scenario. If I lost my wallet, a decent New Yorker would try to return it. That kind of thing. Like, they have a good conscience, I feel like. But on the subway, they're going to, like, push you out of the way to get to the seat or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, that's actually a really good way to put it. I feel like it's one of those things where they just don't care about, like, yeah, they have a good conscience, but it's like they're very focused on themselves. Like, they're not going to waste their time focusing on anyone else that's in their way or, like, physically like on the street or whatever.
Right.
So I feel like it can come across as rude, but it's really like they're all just trying to get to where they need to be,
and
like
everyone's in a rush.
Yeah, and you've been in New York for years now, so I feel like I can actually like ask you and get a good opinion.
I know, I was thinking about that the other day because I'm like sitting in my apartment just reflecting on my life here. I've been here for 7 years, maybe almost 8. I don't know what my math is right now. It's crazy.
That That's crazy. Yeah, that's like you're almost officially New Yorker. What is it, 10 years and you're officially a New Yorker?
Yeah, it's weird. Definitely weird.
And then the next one is doing social media is not a quote-unquote real job.
So false. So false. Yeah. I feel like doing social media is, I think it's like any other freelancer job. And I think it should be given as much credit. Like freelancers work double the amount that a 9-to-5 desk worker works in a lot of scenarios. A lot of it is like how hard you hustle determines how successful you can be. And that's really hard. It's not like a steady paycheck where if I clock in at 9 and sit at my desk and type a couple of emails, like I know I'm going to get a paycheck in 2 weeks. It's really hard. And that's actually something I was not really expecting or prepared for when I first started doing it full time. So I have a lot of respect for freelancers and people who are successful at social media influencing as a job.
I also think with freelance too, every time you are working, you're doing something to like further benefit yourself versus at a corporate job, there is a lot of downtime. I'm not saying that a corporate job isn't hard or it's not difficult or anything, but I do feel like I've noticed when I was working at a corporate job and with my friends also, because I know that I don't have like the most experience, but even like looking at what my friends are doing, I just noticed that a lot of things are just like, I have to be here because it's not 5 o'clock yet, or I have to just sit around and wait for someone else to do something. But really, it's when you're doing freelance and working for yourself, like every single time you're working, it's actually like to further benefit you.
It's a lot of mental strength too, because it's like, okay, I have 2 hours of free time. Like what else should I be doing right now? Like I don't feel productive if I just sit and watch a YouTube video or like go for a walk, which is also why a lot of freelancers feel stress all the time, because it's like there is no downtime.
Right. I mean, you can always be doing something. Like, there's no one telling you what to do. So, like, you really could always be doing something. And I think it, especially living in an environment where you're surrounded by very successful people, it's like, okay, how do I get to that level of success? Like, I must be working hard. Like, I must need to work harder.
Right.
Is a lot of times the mentality. So now just tell us a little more about yourself. So where you went to school, who you are, like how you grew up.
Yeah. So my name is Emily. I run the Instagram account What's Emily Doing. It's like a fashion lifestyle type account. Instagram is like my main social media platform. I'm a very beginner at YouTube, but it's there kind of. And then I went to NYU and I graduated in 2017. And then from there, I worked at a tech startup right out of college for 2 years. And then I guess almost a year ago, I quit that job to do full-time social media and like full-time Instagram content creation, freelance brand work for other companies and brands. And then I've done like consulting work in addition to that at new startups. So it's quite a mix of like my own work and then helping other companies grow and build their brand presence. I would say my like biggest thing right now is I really want to dive headfirst into like the fashion world. It's always been something I'm interested in, but especially now as I feel like so many new brands are popping up from social media creators, everyone's making their own whatever, t-shirt line, overalls, makeup, it's a really great opportunity now more than ever to like attempt to build your own business. So not that I have one at the moment, but that's the dream one day.
Yeah, I mean, you do though. You run your own business by just doing what you're doing, you know? Like you're the one that has to pay the bills. You're the one that's like deciding how much money you're gonna make at the end of the day. You know, it's all on you. So that's your own business already. And also, what is the difference between your tech startup job that you first had and now doing this full time? Like, what were some of the differences that you saw?
That role, it was a marketing role, but it was more like salesy. So I was just like helping the company grow by building new, like building their client base. So it was definitely corporate, but because it was a startup, it was still lenient. And at the time, actually, I was still kind of a food blogger. So my Instagram used to be Miss New Foodie is what it was called from the Bubba Spark song. So I transitioned entirely from food to fashion just because I'm like not really a foodie, but I started it my freshman year of college when I was just moved to the city. I was going out to dinner. I was like taking pictures of food. I thought it was fun. Also, Instagram wasn't like a thing in 2013. Like I didn't know it was going to be what it is.
Yeah, I was going to say your food account, Miss New Foodie. So I didn't even live in New York, but I followed it because I loved New York and I was always visiting. And I remember my friend telling me about it and I was like, oh, I'll go follow it. And I just thought that the name was like the most creative thing I've ever heard. I was like, it is the cutest name for an Instagram account.
Thank you.
And I remember thinking like, oh my God, this is so like, this account is so cool. And I actually don't think I've ever told you this, but it's coming back to me now. So my friend Katie, my friend Katie is like a food blogger also. And she's like obsessed with all of these food accounts. And I remember a few years ago, I think when you were still doing Miss New Foodie, she was in New York and she was like, oh my God, it is my dream to like meet Miss New Foodie. Like she was like, it is my dream to meet her. And she said that she saw you at a restaurant and it's like she doesn't remember where or what, but she saw you at a restaurant and she was like, oh my God, I can't believe it. And like,
did she say hi?
She's taking a picture. No, she never said hi.
That's so but funny.
She was like fangirling and it's literally just now coming back to me because I was like, wait, I remember her telling me that she has seen you once and I was like, no way.
That's so funny. Cool.
And it's like a few years ago. Yeah.
I know. Honestly, I wish I like kind of baby restarted Miss New Foodie. It literally has 300 followers. I don't know if I'm going to keep up with it, but I do miss some of the excitement of like taking a picture of like pasta and pizza and stuff. But I wish I kept Miss New Foodie and then just started What's Emily Doing separately instead of like switching over, because I feel like I confused people and like had a weird overlap. But I didn't know. Instagram was so much different. It's changed so much over the past like 5-6 years, I guess, that I've had it.
I just wanted to take a quick break to thank TM Soft's White Noise Sleep Sounds for sponsoring today's episode. Are you having trouble sleeping, focusing, or relaxing? If the answer is yes, then TM Soft's White Noise Sleep Sounds podcast has got you covered. This hour-long podcast is made to help you get rid of distractions, reduce stress, relax, and get better sleep. You can listen to the sounds of nature, white noise, relaxing music, and so much more. You can check out the TM Soft's White Noise Sleep Sounds podcast on Spotify or wherever else you listen to your favorite podcasts. Yeah, like why did you start that account? Like why and how did it grow so quickly? Or did it grow so quickly?
Yeah, well, I went to NYU actually originally as a nutrition major. So one of my classes, it was technically a science lab, but it was literally a cooking class. So we would make these like omelets and frittatas and whatever. And I remember afterwards, the professor was always like, okay, guys, now time to like take pictures of your food. And Instagram was so new because it was still like 2013 at the time. So I just made an Instagram account to put those pictures on. And then people on my dorm would get like insomnia cookies or pizza at night. And I like took pictures of it. And I just put it on this Instagram and it grew so quickly. It was crazy. I think I started it in October 2013. And then I remember my spring break, I hit 5,000 followers. And then that summer I had hit 10,000 followers. So that's only in like, I can't do the math, like 7 months.
Less than a year.
Like.
Yeah.
And also food blogging was way, it was very popular. Like the Infatuation had, they're a huge company now, but at the time they were just a food Instagram, like a food review Instagram. Food in the Air, did you ever follow them? That was like I don't even know if they're still around, but that was like a big one. It was just, that was more popular, I feel like, than fashion Instagram people. Like food was all over my Instagram feed. So it grew very quickly. And then I switched it over to fashion when I graduated college. So 2017. And it's been switched to What's Emily Doing ever since.
Yeah, no, I think that's so cool how you did start that way. Because like, I don't know, I normally don't talk to that many food bloggers. Like my friend is a food blogger, but it's interesting seeing one like that kind of randomly started, because I feel like a lot of people start with the intention of growing, but I feel like you kind of started just for fun and then it happened to grow. So I think that's like a really cool difference. And when you were switching over to fashion, like have you seen that same growth? Have you seen it being more difficult, or like what do you see in terms of the social media trends?
It's definitely been more difficult, I would say, for two reasons. The first is obviously like when I had my food Instagram, I had almost 130,000 followers, but they all came to my account for food. So then one day I literally changed the name, started posting pictures of myself, and obviously I lost a lot of followers from that. And then I think also Instagram has just changed. Like it's very, I hate to say it, like oversaturated, but there's so many accounts now that you just don't grow as quickly. And if anything, like you lose followers which is like just the nature of the platform. I think it's really hard to grow on Instagram right now if you're doing something that other people are doing. Like every girl is posting pictures of their outfit. You know, it's not as unique as it used to be, but it's still fun and I still enjoy doing it and like building a little community.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think also like you were saying back then, Instagram was so much more new. So there, like, it's easier to grow because there's not as many accounts to compete with, you know, but I think it's just one of those things that you lose followers a lot, but like you're gonna still have those like consistent loyal followers. And that's what honestly matters more. Like whenever I lose followers, I'm kind of like, I wonder why they unfollowed me. But then I'm also like, okay, well, they probably weren't interacting with my stuff anyways. So it's only gonna help my engagement if I have right. only people that like interact with my stuff. So, and then you also went to school in New York and you've been here for like what, like 7-8 years or whatever. So how was going to school in New York? Because I went to a big state school in North Carolina. So I just feel like it must be really different. I know you can't like compare it to that, but like for in your eyes, like compared to the movies, compared to your friends, like was going to school in New York a little bit different?
I always tell people that if I could go back, like if I could redo my college experience, I would have loved to go to a big state school my first freshman, maybe even the first 2 years, and then switch to NYU. Because I missed out on the typical college experience, even though I had an amazing, incredible time at NYU. I can't relate to what almost all of my friends experienced at college. Like I never went to like a frat party in a house on a hill or went to, you know, so it was so different in the sense of parties and Greek life. There actually was Greek life at NYU. It was just different. So I was in a sorority, but our mixers were at bars. So we would go to a New York City bar. Like we would rent out these bars at 8 p.m. on a Thursday and we'd have X's on the back of our hands. If we weren't 21, we couldn't drink there. Obviously it's not legal and it's like monitored by the owners and the NYPD obviously. So it was just, it was different, but there were parties at apartments and stuff.
But apartments are so small.
Right. I don't know. It's hard. I'm trying to think of like, there were a couple of bars near NYU. So NYU is actually like near Washington Square Park. Most of the buildings are down there. So there were a couple of bars that, you could get in underage, but it was kind of a hit or miss. Like, am I going to get in tonight? I don't know. It's the same as coming to New York before you're 21. If you ever interned here, like, is my fake going to work tonight? I don't know. Like 50% of the time it did. 50% of the time you just go home. It was just like, but I don't know. I have such amazing memories. And also you would do things that are fun for people now our age to do. So I used to go to the High Line. I would picnic at Central Park when I was 18 with my friends on a Tuesday afternoon. So it's just different, but I loved it. But I wish I could have experienced both because I feel like I missed out.
Yeah. I don't know. I would love, like, I feel like it'd be so cool to go to school in New York at being 18, but I just remember myself at 18 and I'm like, oh my God, I feel like I was a baby my freshman year of college and I can't imagine living in New York City at 18 years old.
I was a baby.
Like, yeah. Like I just feel so young and like New York is such a big adult city and you're mixed in with a bunch of people. Like it's not like you have your own campus. Like, yeah, Washington Square Park is the heart of the campus, I guess, but like I go through Washington Square Park every day, like living in New York. You know, so it's not like it's only for college kids. It's still that mix.
I think you become not, I was so used to it. I was so used to seeing strangers on the street walking to class that you don't even think about it. I also think I wasn't even mature enough to be aware that I'm in a giant city, if that even makes sense. Like I was just like, oh, I gotta go to class, here I go. And I wasn't like, wow, I'm in New York City, you know?
Yeah. And you are from Connecticut, though. So did you travel into the city a lot when you were younger?
I did. And funny enough, I hated, my parents would always take me to a Broadway show and dinner. I feel like that's the classic. If you're from the tri-state area, that's your thing to do on a holiday weekend. And I would beg my parents not to take me because I hated it so much. But I think that's because we were in Times Square, which is like the armpit of the city. So I didn't like it. And actually, when I first came to NYU, I was a little hesitant because I didn't see myself as a city person. That's clearly changed so much since then. But Yeah, I don't know.
Have you seen a difference from going to school there and then now post-grad? Like, do you see the city in a different way?
I definitely see the city in a different way. And in some ways, I think I'm a little bit jaded. Like, I don't want to go... The bars that people go to and the things that people do that are my age, I feel like I'm, like, over it, which is so annoying to say. But I experienced those things a little bit younger, so now I don't want to do that. So I'm kind of stuck because I don't want to go to a bar or an activity with, like, 30-year-olds. But I also feel like when I go places that are for the 21 to 24-year-old group, I feel like I've been there, done that, which is obviously very, like, privileged to say. I don't know. I feel like eventually I'm going to move out of the city because I've experienced it to my fullest extent at this age. And then I want to come back. But I feel like I have been here for so long. But I love it. I absolutely love it.
Yeah. And I think that's fair to say. Like, that happens no matter where you are. Like, yes, New York is big. Yes, New York is the dream for some people. But, like, you've been here for a long time, too. So it's not like, oh, I hate, like, I don't know. I don't think it's, like, a bad thing to say at all. So I actually wanted to ask you some of your recommendations, and I know, because I feel like a lot of people on the podcast are probably going to be traveling there eventually when this is all over. So I wanted to ask, what are your, like, top places to go for people that have never been, or even for people that already are there, like a place to kind of live locally or, like, travel like a local, not like a tourist.
Mm-hmm. Is this for food or drinks?
Sure.
Or?
Yeah. Let's do food. Let's do restaurants.
Okay. I feel like if you are in your 20s or, like, in high school or in that age range, East Village is the most fun, I would say. There's a bar and a restaurant on every single block. For restaurants, the very fun and things that are go-to, I would say, are... I can't remember the name of it, but it's the pasta place in East Village. You definitely know what I'm talking about.
Oh, that has, wait, is it really cheap?
Yeah. Why can't I think
of it? San Marzano.
Right now? Yeah. San Marzano is like a go-to. It's always crowded because everyone goes there. Very good food. It's cheap. It's like $9 pasta and wine.
It's so cheap and so good. I think I got a picture of sangria there. Yeah. No, I got a picture of sangria there for like $14 or something, like, ridiculous. I was like, this is, like, unheard of for actually being good and being in New York City.
Yeah,
like, it's cheap no matter where you are, like, even if this was in a random city.
Yeah,
and it's so good. Yeah, last time I tried going there, they didn't even take me because they're like, sorry, we're just booked the whole night.
Yeah, last time I went, really, they were like, the wait's gonna be 4 hours. I was like, excuse me.
Yeah, no, I really wanted to go, and then there I was like, I mean, even if the wait is like 2 hours, I'll wait. And they're like, no, we're just like booked. I was like, okay, never mind.
Yeah, that's a good dinner spot. Good, there's so many good brunch places. My favorite are Jack's Wife Frida. Have you ever been there? That's like one of my favorites.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
good.
It's really good.
I love, like, bagels. Black Seed Bagels is one of my favorite. Oh my gosh, there's so many, I can't even think. Have you ever been to Veselka in the East Village? It's it's open 24 hours, which I think it still is. So it's really fun to, like, go at night as well. But they have breakfast food. They have, like, latkes and pierogies, pancakes. Yeah. Really good. Oh my gosh, there's so many. I don't even know. I'm always.
You should compile, like, a big post or, like, a highlight on your story. Or, like, yeah, like a highlight or something. So it's not taking up your post, but, like, a highlight that just, like, shares all of your favorite places.
Yeah, honestly, I defer to the infatuation for a lot of stuff. Mm-hmm. They are so good at categorizing different restaurants for different things. Like, parents are in town, here's the top 10 restaurants. Or going to dinner with your brother or sister and listing it out. Yeah. So any occasion, they have a list for it, which helps me, like, figure out what the best scene is. Because also some restaurants are super loud and crowded. Others are more spaced out. So you have to pick the right vibe.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree with you. I'm excited. This, even talking about this, I'm, like, ready to go back. I'm like,
I know.
Things open up.
On nice days, like, I look out my window and I'm like, I can't wait to just sit outside at a restaurant on the sidewalk with a glass of rosé, like, people watching.
I know, I miss it. So now, I mean, you are still in the city, so I'm recording this podcast in Charlotte and Emily's in New York right now in her apartment. So how has it been being in New York during the coronavirus outbreak, because I know that it is obviously, New York is like the hub for it. So how has that like affected you? How's that been?
Yeah, honestly, so I live alone, so I'm like used to being alone, so I don't mind it as much as far as staying what am I trying to say? Yeah, I don't mind staying in. But that being said, the streets are like empty. It's like a ghost town. I haven't been outside for groceries. I order groceries, which is really lucky that we've been able to do that, because I know in Connecticut, I don't know if you can actually order things to my house. I'm not sure how my parents are getting groceries, to be honest. I'm sure there's services, but in New York, Whole Foods they have a service that'll deliver to you, which is really great. I don't know. I'm kind of taking it day by day. I don't know when this will end, so I don't want to like think about the future because I don't see it. So I'm just taking it day by day.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I feel like it's one of those things where we were talking before this podcast. We're just like, hopefully this ends sooner rather than later. But like, we don't know when. Like, this is like, you have that countdown or whatever on your fridge.
Yeah, I literally have a June 1st countdown on my fridge because I reasonably think it will hopefully we'll be able to like leave our apartments sooner, but for now I feel like June 1st is a solid date to be like, okay, June 1st I can walk outside and get an iced coffee. I don't know if I'll be going to restaurants and bars by June 1st, but I'm hoping I can like walk outside and not be fearful of whatever is out there. That's optimistic. Who really knows? It's better to stay inside and be safe, though.
Yeah, yeah. We're not saying to go out on June 1st. We're saying that is, like, that's a benchmark.
Yeah.
And then, like, from there, we'll obviously reassess, but that's, like, a benchmark.
Yeah, I need something to look forward to. Like, a date, anything.
I know. And are you... So, has all of this made, like, you like New York more? Like, you know, I feel like in times of, like... tragedy, I guess, which this is a tragedy, like it makes people come together more, especially you being there in the heart of it. Do you think that that's like affected the way you've seen the city?
I would say I've seen people come together more. Something that people are doing in the city, which is really awesome, it's not happening in my neighborhood because I'm not near any hospitals, but at 7 o'clock every night, people open their windows and clap for all of the healthcare workers and nurses and doctors that are working 24/7 right now. And it's amazing. I see it on everyone's Instagram story, like the cheers happening throughout the streets, like I have like chills thinking about it right now. Everyone is united in this one effort to stop the spread of the virus and to make sure that everyone is taken care of that does get sick. So in that sense, it has really like brought me more love for the city. And then additionally, I watch the governor's press conferences every day, which he is so calm and factual about everything, and it helps me. Like if I Google press articles that are from random news outlets, I feel like they're all scary, and his press conferences are very informative and calming, and I don't know. I feel like we're in good hands. So that was a very long-winded answer, but
No, I completely agree. I think there's a lot of information going on online and a lot of opinions and a lot of like, even us right now, we're like talking about our opinion and stuff. And like, I feel like a lot of it is very, very scary. And I know the information is scary, but I think when we just look at it as like facts and what's happening and just what this is with the numbers and everything like that, like, yes, it's bad and it is a scary thing. But when you just lay it out like that, it just eases some people's anxieties more than others, I think.
It definitely.
Like, I was actually watching, I was watching a video about this girl who it works in, like, infectious diseases, and she does research on them. So she was doing a lot of research on this virus, and she was just laying out the facts, like, what this virus hooks onto, like, why this is spreading so quickly, all of this stuff. And, like, it was informative, and it was, like, eye-opening that, yeah, this is really serious, this isn't just a flu. But it also was calming, because it was like, okay, these are the facts, I know them, it's not just, like, these scary articles that are being thrown around.
Right. Some of the articles are so scary, and it's not based on evidence. I don't know if you've heard, there's this rumor that like taking Advil like hurts or makes the symptoms worse, and that's there have been actual articles that are factual and scientifically based saying that that's not true at all. But it's weird rumors that are randomly spreading throughout social media and random news articles that get people all freaked out.
Yeah, yeah. No, it is definitely a weird time that we're in, especially because we haven't really had a pandemic happen with all of this, like, social media too, where social media is just how the news spreads so rapidly. Mm-hmm. So it's very interesting. And I saw this tweet that was like, I'm tired of being part of history. I was like, me too. Like, I don't want to be a part of history anymore. Like, I just want, like, a life of nothing, like, happening in the world. Like,
I know. What do you think life is going to be like after this?
That's the thing. I don't know. Like, I don't know how people are gonna, like, I feel like even, let's say, this is lifted, like, we've calmed it, people are not gonna be really going to bars as much, or, like, packing up places as much. I, like, but maybe they will, who knows? I feel like people are quick to forget as well.
Yeah, that's so true.
I don't know.
I have no idea. I think I'll be hesitant to go to bars and part, like, whatever, being near people still for a while, probably.
Yeah, yeah. But, I don't know, it's crazy. And then, how have you been, like, living alone? So, besides from all of this, like, how has just living alone in a big city treated you?
I'm fine living alone. Like I said before, I kind of enjoy my alone time. It's, I would say this is clearly more alone time than I've ever had in my entire life. But I kind of occupy myself because of social media, and I still feel connected to everyone. I FaceTime my parents every day, talk to my friends. That's the beauty of kind of this situation in this modern time, is you still can be connected to people without being near them, which is really a blessing. I can't even imagine what it's been like in the past before iPhones and Instagram and TikTok and whatever. So I'm kind of occupying myself, working on my content, staying connected to my friends and family. It's kind of, I try to treat it as much of a work day as I can. So I wake up, have my coffee, organize myself, and then I work until like 5 or 6 doing kind of whatever. Then I'll like eat dinner, shower, watch TV, and go to bed. So in that way, I feel like the days don't drag on because I have a schedule, which has really helped. Like I make a list of everything that I'm doing for the day.
I'm going to take a quick break to tell you guys about our sponsor. You guys all know what Spotify is, but on Spotify, you can listen to all of your favorite artists and podcasts in one place for free. So you do not need to have a premium account. Spotify has a huge catalog of podcasts on every topic, including the one that you're listening to right now. On Spotify, you can follow your favorite podcast so you never miss an episode. Premium users can download episodes to listen to offline wherever you are. And you can also easily share what you're listening to with your friends on Instagram. So if you're listening to this ad right now, you should take a pause and share your podcast, or share my podcast, I should say, on your Instagram story and let other people know where to find it. If you haven't done so already, be sure to download the Spotify app, search for The Real Real Podcast on Spotify, or browse podcasts in your library tab. Also, make sure to follow me so you never miss an episode of The Real Real Podcast.
Yeah, and do you think that, like, having a remote job already, because, like, being on social media is already, like, working from home, a remote job, do you think that that is going to be affected by the coronavirus, or has it been affected for you by the coronavirus, your job?
I was talking to my manager, helps me a lot with like brand deals and stuff, and also just kind of guiding me with a lot of different things. And right now it has minimally affected me, but if this continues on for a long time, I'm sure in the long term it will, because companies as well, like companies are laying off large groups of employees. I don't know what their marketing budgets are like, but I have to imagine that that's going to slow down. They're not going to spend as much on like influencer marketing. And I think, I don't know, I know the economy is kind of like at a standstill, up in the air. I don't know enough about it to speak on it, but I think things are just going to slow. People are going to stop buying, spending, companies are going to stop spending marketing dollars. So in the long run, in the coming months, I'm sure it'll affect me more. But right now, it's been kind of okay. I don't know if you feel the same.
Yeah, I definitely think, like, for me, I always say I'm very fortunate for having a job that I can already work from home and work remotely. But at the end of the day, like, the people who do pay me is marketing. Like, that's like the industry that right. Both of us are in. And So yeah, like when marketing budgets slow, like if we're going to enter a recession, or if the economy just slows down, people are only going to be spending money on essential things. And I don't know how essential marketing is to a lot of companies. Like to right. some companies, they may place a higher priority than others. But yeah, so like I've already noticed I've lost a few brand deals from this, or like a few have been pushed back. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, I get it. You know, like
right.
if people aren't buying, then there's no point in putting this much money into marketing. So that is something that, I mean, I'm not worried, but I'm going to take into consideration that my income will be affected. But that is something like going into being freelance, going into being your own boss, is something that you kind of get into knowing like, this might not, like, not every month is going to be the same. Some months are going to be better than others.
Right.
So it's definitely going to be interesting, because the last time we had a recession was, what, 2008, 2009? And influencers weren't a thing. Like
right.
This is the first time influencers are going to feel what it is like in an unstable economy. Because since then, like, yeah, the economy's had its ups and downs, obviously, but an actual full on like recession that affects the whole country, like, this is the first time people are going to be feeling it, I think. So mm-hmm. it'll be interesting.
Yeah. Who knows what'll happen? Hoping that doesn't get to that point, but who knows?
Yeah. Yeah. And also, this is just me and Emily talking. We don't know anything. Like, please don't. Whoever's listening, don't take this as, like, sound advice. We're just, like, having
we're just chatting.
Yeah. I always need to put, like, a disclaimer that's, like, this is just two friends chatting. Not, like, listen to us, guys. This is what's going to happen. So
we're right there with you. We have no idea what's happening.
Yeah, yeah. And, okay, what is some of your goals for the next year, or for the next 5 years, or, like, what's some things that you, like, are hoping to achieve, and, like, with your whole social media business?
Ooh.
Because it is a business.
Yeah. In the next year, I would say I definitely want to read more and learn more, and even take courses on, like, building a consumer brand that sells products, like clothing specifically, just because I want to become more knowledgeable in that industry. And then in 5 years, oh gosh, that's so scary. I don't even know if I'll be living in the city at that point. I think in the next 5 years, I would like to move somewhere else and kind of experience a new city and a new atmosphere. So that's definitely, and that's scary for me, because this is everything I've ever known. So that's going to be a really big step. But definitely in the next 5 years, I don't know if it's California. I really love Austin, and I've only been once, and I don't consider myself to be, I'm a New Yorker, true and true.
Yeah.
But I loved Austin when I visited last summer. It felt like Brooklyn, but warmer and nicer.
So that's a good way to describe it.
That's like a personal travel goal for me. And then in my business, I think I just want to keep experimenting and trying new things. I never want to get stuck I don't want to be just doing Instagram and that's it in the next 5 years. I want to branch out, whether it's starting my own business, whether it's consulting again for more brands, or like building a startup, that kind of thing. I think it's important to just always keep learning and experimenting new things, because who knows, Instagram might not even be around in 5 years, which is crazy to say.
Yeah, no, I mean, who knows what else is going to pop up too.
I know.
There's so many.
I'm obsessed with TikTok. I just have to say it. I could sit and watch TikTok videos for 3 hours and not think twice about it.
Yeah, no, me too. I feel like I've done that already. Like, I've done
It's crazy.
I've become obsessed. Yeah. And that popped up out of nowhere too.
Literally out of nowhere. I did you ever download Musical.ly? Because I downloaded it back a couple years ago just to see what's up, to be in the know with the younger generation. But this is a whole new ball game.
Yeah. I thought Musical.ly, isn't it just lip singing?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I was always like, that's so weird.
I know. I'm surprised that even got as big as it did.
Yeah. Yeah. So I never downloaded that. And then when TikTok bought it, I was like, this is another dumb thing. I don't know what this is. And now I'm like, catch me on that, like, at all times.
It's crazy because people are so, their videos are so funny, so well made. And it's like, how do they do that? In 15 seconds, how are you so entertaining?
Mm-hmm. And like, I'll catch myself. I'm like, I've been watching this for like 2 hours now, And it's like the max amount of time you can be on there is a minute. So I have consumed so much content in 2 hours. And I'm like, that's concerning. I feel like how everyone's like, oh my gosh, has anyone else like not been sleeping well during this quarantine? And I'm like, I honestly think it's because of how much time we're staring at a screen.
Definitely.
Like, I think that's what it is, because normally we're not staring at a screen that much. We're not consuming as much content as we are. So I honestly think that like now it's because we're just consuming a lot more content. So it's messing with our brains.
Definitely. I'm staring at my phone or my laptop all day from the second I wake up. That's so scary, actually, to think about.
Yeah, or you're watching something. You're watching TV, you're staring at your laptop. It's like constant. You're constantly trying to distract yourself.
It's crazy. So
it's actually, I think that's what's like messing up with people's sleep. Probably. I'm really convinced that that's what it is. But where can they find you on social media and everywhere else? TikTok, YouTube, everything.
All of my usernames are What's Emily Doing. So my Instagram is What's Emily Doing. YouTube and TikTok are What's Emily Doing. I did have a podcast last year called What's Emily Saying, although I paused on that a couple of months ago. But if you want to listen to the old episodes, I know I'm thinking about bringing it back just because everyone's sitting at home wanting to listen to stuff. You'll be my first guest when I bring it back.
Yay!
That is on Spotify and Apple iTunes, Apple Podcasts. And I think that's it. That's everything.
Awesome. Well, I'll have everything linked. And thank you so much for coming on my podcast. I hope that you're staying safe and that you're staying sane also. And just like, hopefully this goes away soon.
Yeah. Thank you for having me. Stay safe. Stay sane.
That was it for the episode. I hope that you guys enjoyed it. Let me know what you guys thought in the Facebook page or on a podcast review. If you guys did like this podcast, or if you guys like any of my other podcast episodes, please be sure to give it 5 stars on iTunes. That is the only way that like the algorithm for podcasts can really share or like recommend my podcast to people, because the Apple Podcast algorithm is definitely not the best. So if you guys would leave me a 5-star review, that would mean so much to me. And then join the Facebook page, follow us on Instagram, because we've been doing a lot of Instagram takeovers. So if you guys want to see your favorite podcasters do a takeover and kind of log their day on my stories, then you guys can follow us at The Real Real Podcast on Instagram. Anyways, I hope that you guys enjoyed this episode, and I will see you guys next Monday on another episode of The Real Real Podcast.